Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Good evening, folks. It is December 24th, 2015. This is the Philosophy Show. My name is Thomas, and it is Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. We're here at the same time every week, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. This is episode 118, and today's episode title is called Santa Claus on the No-Fly List in the No-Fly Zone. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And a lot of times I come up with a title and I'll change it later, thinking about something like, you know, Santa's not the only one keeping a list. But we'll see. That's what it's called now. Feel free to call in. And that number is area code 646-929-1344. And so it's a half an hour show. If you want to call in, if you have a show idea, you can talk about anything. Conspiracies, advice, quotes, reviews, news, and we have 117 other episodes that I've done before in the past. So last week, I touched on this a little bit, and I'm also going to give a little bit of a Star Wars chat here, and also maybe go over the Democrat debate, which happened last Saturday as well, because I just had a review on the Republican debate last week. And so we'll cover a couple of different things. Now, the no-fly list, what you need to know, what you might not know about it is, if you even know what it is, and just maybe some discussion on lists in general and blacklists throughout history might be in order or might be relevant. So the discussion was, though, nationally, that if someone is on the no-fly list, they shouldn't be able to purchase a gun. And so that's why discussing it, although in itself it's a discussion worth having maybe anyways. Now, a couple articles here I'm going to refer to and that you might find interesting for some in-depth reporting on this. One thing is, on June 24th, 2014, the ACLU reported that court orders the government to give plaintiffs in the ACLU lawsuit a chance to clear their names. In a landmark ruling, a federal judge struck down as unconstitutional the government's procedures for people on the no-fly list to challenge their inclusion. The judge ordered the government to create a new process that remedies these shortcomings, calling the process wholly ineffective and a violation of the Fifth Amendment's guarantee of due process. And so let me I have too many tabs open right now, and it is making my browser very, very slow. But it was created in 2001 after 9/11, and the no-fly list is a list created and maintained by United States Government Terrorist Screening Center, TSC, of people who are not permitted to board a commercial aircraft or travel in or out of the United States. The list has also been used to divert aircraft not flying to or from the U.S. away from U.S. airspace. And it was created after September 11 attacks on 2001. And so before I was referring to an ACLU article, the American Civil Liberties Union. Now I'm looking on Wikipedia, the no-fly list. And it looks like, let's see here. Now, there's been a lot of false positives on this list. And now the no-fly list is different than the terrorist watch list, a much longer list of people said to be suspected of some involvement with terrorism. The terrorist watch list contained around 1 million names by March 2009. The no-fly list supposedly has about, well, let's see here, the no-fly list came to public light when prominent anti-war activists such as Jan Adams and Rebecca Gordon and political opponents of the Bush administration such as Senator Edward Kennedy and the civil rights attorney David Cole found themselves included on it in October 2006. CBS's 60 Minutes reported on the program after it obtained a March 2006 copy of the list containing 44,000 names. And TSA officials said that as of November 2005, 30,000 people in 2005 had complained that their names were matched to a name on the list via the name matching software used by airlines. And let's see, as of 2011, the list contained about 10,000 names. In 2012, the list more than doubled in size to about 21,000 names. In August 2013, a leak revealed that more than 47,000 people were on the list. And so some vulnerabilities are in this article are false positives. And so when an airline ticket is purchased, the reservation system uses software to compare the passenger's name against the no-fly list. If the name matches or is similar to a name on the no-fly list, a restriction is placed in the reservation that prevents them from being issued a boarding pass until the airline has determined whether or not they're the actual person. You know, there's been kids on it, you know, two-year-olds or so, people in the military, people that actually work for Homeland Security, and now there's been some notable cases. Daniel Brown, a United States Marine returning from Iraq, was prevented from boarding a flight home in April 2006 because his name matched one on that list. There's been an attorney, David Fathi, an attorney for the ACLU, was on it. Numerous children, including many under the age of five and some under the age of one, had generated false positives. Robert J. Johnson, a surgeon from and a former lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, Senator Ted Kennedy, Democrat from Massachusetts, was on it. Some other politicians, Canadian journalist Patrick Martin, has been frequently interrogated when traveling. And a lot listed here. Let's see. Just going to do a list, seeing if there's any other ones. A U.S. citizen stranded in Colombia after being placed on a no-fly list as a result of having studied in Yemen, sought to re-enter the U.S. through Mexico, but was returned to Colombia by Mexican authorities. One person was, I remember recently, was stuck in Hawaii. A military person who was visiting his wife, who is stationed overseas. So you can read more about it. There's been a few lawsuits. So let's look at another article here. Here's one from the Intercept.com. Now, let's see. And so a lot of people never find out why they're on it. And so they have no idea how they got on it. So they were, you know, kind of punished before the proof. Here's another article from The Intercept, a secret government rule book for labeling you a terrorist. The March 2013 watch listing guidance, a 166-page document issued last year by the National Counterterrorism Center, spells out the government's secret rules for putting individuals on its main terrorist database, as well as the no-fly list and the selectee list, which triggers enhanced screening at airports and border crossings. The new guidelines allow individuals to be designated as representatives of terror organizations without any evidence they are actually connected to such organizations. It gives a single White House official the unilateral authority to place entire categories of people the government is tracking onto the no-fly and selectee list. It broadens the authority of government officials to nominate people to the watch list based on what is vaguely described as fragmentary information. It also allows for dead people to be watchlisted. And instead of a watchlist limited to actual known terrorists, the government has built a vast system based on unproven and flawed premise that it can predict if a person will commit a terrorist act in the future, says Hina Shamsi, the head of ACLU's National Security Project. These criteria should never have been kept in public, and let's see if we can find out what some of those criterias are. All right, so in 2012, Tim Healy, the former director of the FBI's Terrorist Screening Center, described to CBS News how watch lists are used by police officers. So if you're speeding, you get pulled over, they'll query that name, and if they are encountering a known or suspected terrorist, they'll pop up and say, call the Terrorist Screening Center. Let's see, what else? All right. Well, it's an article that you can check out here, and let's see. Let's see. So let's move on here. Now, there's been other lists in history. Remember the Hollywood Blacklist? I'm looking that up on Wikipedia. As a broader entertainment industry, blacklist is generally known was a mid-20th century practice of denying employment to screenwriters, actors, directors, musicians, and other U.S. entertainment professionals because of their suspected communist sympathy or membership in the Communist Party. Artists were barred from work on the basis of their alleged membership in or sympathy with the Communist Party USA and refusal to assist investigations into party's activities. Even during the period of its strictest enforcement, the late 1940s through the 1950s, a blacklist was rarely made explicit or verifiable, but it directly damaged the careers of scores of individuals working in the film industry. And the first systematic Hollywood blacklist was instituted on November 25th, 1947. And then it goes on, you know, you can find out a lot more about that on Wikipedia. Now, I'm sure there's been blacklists for a long time, but probably a lot more prevalent since the age of computers and typewriters and this things like that. Lots of different blacklists. If you just look up in Wikipedia blacklisting, it gives a history of them a little bit. According to Henry Holt Encyclopedia of Word and Phrase Origins, word blacklist originated with a list with a list England's King Charles II made of 58 judges and court officers who sentenced his father, Charles I, to death in 1649. When Charles II was restored to the throne in 1660, 13 of these regicides were put to death and 25 sentenced to life imprisonment, while others escaped. They also point out that whitelist is not the opposite of blacklist, but rather a list often kept by unions of people suitable for employment. Fraud control companies, which have payment card merchant accounts terminated, and their directors are often added to a list referred to when companies apply for an account. Medical context, blacklisting by multiple providers in a systematic act by doctors to deny care to a certain patient or patients. It is done in various ways for various reasons. Blacklisting is not new. In 1907, Transvaal Medical Union in South Africa blacklisted patients if they could not pay cash in advance. I think there was kind of a Seinfeld episode on that one time. Nazi blacklist, Hollywood anti-communist blacklist, California Proposition 8 supporter blacklist. Following the passage of California's Proposition 8, Proposition 8 opponents obtained donation lists of those who had supported the ballot measure by contributing to the Yes on 8 campaign, published a list, organized an activism group, and began calling for boycotts of the places of work of the supporters to force the firing or resignation of employees. So real quickly, this list that we're talking about here, and there's a couple other articles I had. Let me look one of them up right now. This was on the Washington Times. I didn't want to load it right away. Is it these big conglomerate media websites going to slow down my computer a lot? They have a lot of pop-ups and crazy stuff like this. But here's an article from the Washington Times citing a person. Let's see. And the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security told a House Oversight panel last week that using the government's various no-fly lists to deny Americans the right to buy a gun is nonsense. And here's a Time article. Let's look this up. This said here. Constitutional experts cite ongoing problems with no-fly list criteria. On Thursday, Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy announced plans to issue an executive order barring anyone listed on federal terrorist watch list from purchasing a gun in the state. So this is something that people have been trying to do, and it just refers back to in 2014. The courts have said that type of list was unconstitutional, and we'll go through that real quick, how many Bill of Rights things it violates. Now, another website I looked at is called noflylistcheck.org, and it says here's some things you can do to try to get help if you find yourself on one. The Office of Foreign Assets Control maintains a specific list of specifically designated nationals, including suspected terrorists, with whom the U.S. firms are prohibited from doing business. Credit bureaus, landlords, and potential employers have been using them to screen applicants, so make sure you're not on the list. Check whether your name appears on the OFAC list. So you want to visit the OFAC website. Check your credit reports for OFAC alerts. Use the DHS TRIP program if you are repeatedly flagged. Contact an attorney if you're placed on a no-fly list in error. Get up-to-date information. Vote for candidates who support watch lists and civil rights safeguards. Noflylistcheck.org. And honestly, just even checking yourself on one might make seem suspect. Perhaps, I don't know. So it's kind of like the scary thing. You don't know how you got on it. you don't want to inquire about it. I mean, who knows? Maybe you looked at someone at the airport the wrong way who was, you know, one of those blue shirts, and they just didn't like you, and maybe they put you on it, or some cop locally or somewhere, or just clerical errors, or names being similar to others, or whatever. I mean, plus, let's check something out here. Now, this is kind of throws our justice system on its head, because usually you have a trial first. You're innocent until proven guilty. And but this makes you guilty, and then you have to prove that you're innocent. And it does give you a negative consequence being on it, for sure. And it could take up years of your time. You may never find out why you're on it. And so let's see which amendments of the Bill of Rights it breaks here. Let's see. All right, so the First Amendment's about freedom of speech. If you're on there because you're a political protester or something like that, that's a consequence for having your freedom of speech broken. The Second Amendment, if they're trying to not let people buy guns because they're on the no-fly list, it bars the Second Amendment. The Third Amendment, no soldier in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. And so, you know, they're having cases where people refuse to be informants. That's kind of similar. The Fourth Amendment, the right of people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated with no warrant, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held to answer for capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. So you haven't had any grand jury here. It's just one person's he said, she said, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against themselves or to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And this is what that judge ruled in 2014, that it was unconstitutional. They cited the Fifth Amendment. The Sixth Amendment says, in criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. The no-fly list has no trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Which district shall have been previously ascertained by law and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. So they have to even also know the nature and cause. To be confronted with the witnesses against them. So if someone was a narc or saw something, say, you know, they not able to be confronted with witnesses, to have compulsory processes for obtaining witnesses in their favor and to have the assistance of counsel for their defense. So I'd say it goes against the Sixth Amendment even more than the Fifth. The Seventh Amendment, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right to trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court in the United States than according to the rules of common law. And you could say all the trouble that this would put someone through would cost them a lot more than $20. Eighth Amendment, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fine imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments. I'd say this is a cruel and unusual punishment. Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And the Tenth Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And so it violates the Tenth Amendment as well, and violates almost all of them. And so I can understand having lists, but it shouldn't have any consequences. Like, you can have lists where you watch people, but it doesn't bar them from flying. You know, there's some people that, and most of these rules we just need to enforce. Like, they knew everyone who has committed all these egregious acts were all being watched. I mean, there's so many, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking you could do of how we could have prevented all the terrorist actions in the past. I mean, they weren't any of them surprises. But so you have, you're guilty until proven innocent. There's no due process. You can't see who accused you of anything, which I think should be the case for anything. You know, just someone randomly put someone on there and it restricts their freedom of travel or to buy a gun or to defend themselves and puts them on a negative list that slanders them in some sense. And so it should be just the opposite in a free society. And you know, lists in general are something to watch out for. Now, we have about 3 minutes left, and one thing, I haven't seen the Star Wars The Force Awakens yet, but from, I've read all the spoilers, and from what I see, my little analogy take on it, which might be wrong, and I'll have to see the movie, I'll see it in January or something, but seems like the Resistance is analogous to, you know, there's the Republic and then there's the Resistance. The Resistance is like a subset of the Republic, and then there's the Force Order, the First Order, which is a remnant of the Empire. The Resistance, to me, represents kind of like NATO, and the Republic kind of like the UN. And so the Resistance, I don't know, if you're conspiracy-like, you could say, hey, that's kind of like the military-industrial complex, that's like the Republican Party saying, hey, you're soft on terrorism, you're like a Neville Chamberlain when we need a Winston Churchill, and if we don't, you know, have preemptive war and blah, 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 you're going to have the consequences, you know, another Hitler or something like that. And so we have to, you know, go beyond and fight in wars that are internationally illegal and so on and so on. I'm not saying there can't be any cases where, you know, you don't want to just watch as some big force is forming that, you know, espouses, you know, manifest destiny all over the world and is arming up, you know, but that's my take on it. And, you know, as far as the Democrat debate goes, it's interesting, still hoping for Bernie Sanders to keep rising in the polls like he has been. We have 90 seconds remaining. Some issues he could have brought up that differentiates him from Hillary Clinton are the trade deals. He should bring that up in every single thing. He did bring up not voting for the previous wars. He did bring up that he's against the banks and he wants to audit them. He should bring up auditing the rest of the government. He should bring up transparency in governments. Misdoings, he should make a case for helping small businesses. Hillary did that, so she got points for that while he didn't, and he should have. He should point out that his healthcare system would actually help small businesses. And so we got less than a minute left. And there's some other things that differentiate him. I mean, trade is a big thing, and I think he should bring that up more. Civil liberties, and small businesses, and healthcare, and the big banks. We'll talk to you next week. We're just about out of time here, so thanks for listening to the Philosophy Show, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and peace.